versus Martin. We're ready whenever you are, sir. So by a pleasant coincidence, this case is a Minnesota case, is it not?
Yes, it is, Your Honor.
Okay, so we've got an interference here, but there was, can you just tell us for a minute about, there's a pending district court proceeding that might be affected by this?
Our position is it will not be affected by this, Your Honor. The district court case is on a trade secret breach of contract claim.
Okay.
And so our view is this does not affect, will not affect that district court case.
Okay, thank you.
May it please the court. The decision below should be reversed because the evidence the board relied on consists entirely of impermissible evidence, including expert testimony that fills in the gaps in Toner. Such evidence can't satisfy the substantial evidence standard. So if you look at Toner, Toner does not disclose culturing cells in ambient gas. Toner doesn't disclose it anywhere, not once, not in the specification, not in the drawings. So Corning can't point to any such disclosure. So what does Corning do? That's why they used Crespi.
And well, are you saying that's a question of law? That the board, or is this a question of just based on the facts and circumstances here, the expert testimony was insufficient to fill the void? Or are you saying as a matter of law, the board is not allowed to use expert testimony to understand how unskilled in the art would understand, would read the reference?
No, Your Honor. The board could use expert testimony, but this is more like Chudik, where what the expert is doing is modifying the reference. So the law, very clear in this circuit, saying if it's going to be anticipatory, the reference has to disclose it exactly as arranged in the claims. And if you look at the claims in this case, the claims are to a method of culturing cells that require incubation in ambient gas where the gas resides in the chain, in the air passage. And so ambient there goes to the source of the gas because it's a cell culture device that's put somewhere and it's the gas that's surrounding it, which is the interpretation that's used. The gas that's surrounding it is what's used to culture the cells. If you look at Toner, there's no disclosure of that. What Toner does is completely different. They have, in fact, in the example Dr. Crespi uses.
Can I just ask you, you can keep your voice down.
Sorry.
We're all pretty close.
It's my, I can see.
I know you feel passionately about this case, so I appreciate that.
If you look at Crespi's declaration and he uses example one, it drives this point home. In example one, Toner has the device of Toner and they put it in an incubator. But the gas that's surrounding it is not what's used to culture the cells. They then connect it to a gas tank. And so the difference between Toner's approach and what we're talking about in the claims is that Toner never uses...
But the board, among other things, the board said that Toner does not require that it be attached to a gas tank, right?
Again, and that would, board did say that, but that's based on Crespi's declaration. And the problem for the board is that's a modification of Crespi. I mean, that's a modification of Toner. And the only way they get to that is through Crespi's declaration. Toner itself only discloses having it's basically a liver support system that's corporeal so you can put patients to it. But what it discloses is a cell culture device that is hooked up to a gas tank.
Can you remind me? I apologize. I can't remember right now as I sit here. What, I think the board didn't construe the term, and there's just two different proposed definitions of ambient air.
There were two different proposed definitions, but they're not very different. Both go to the idea that it's the gas that surrounds the device. And so the key to the reason the board didn't really have to make a decision is it's really going to the gas that surrounds the device that's used to culture the cells. And the problem is there is no disclosure in toner. They don't point to any disclosure in toner.
Other than the reference to air, right?
And so we can talk about the reference to air. So the reference to air in toner is a sentence in toner that says, here are all the different oxygenated fluids you can use. And so what that says is, here's a bunch of examples of oxygenated fluids you can use, but you would always still use it in only one way, which is in the tank, to then use it to culture cells. That sentence alone doesn't say you would then culture cells in ambient gas.
Wait a minute. So Dr. Crespi says, and this is what the board relied on, one skilled in the art would recognize that a gas pump or fan circulating gas inside an incubator and sharing the same gas in the gas space may be used. That's the expert testimony. So is it a matter of whether we construe that as gap filling or whether we construe that as being a legitimate analysis by a person skilled in the art as to how the reference would be understood? Because the latter is appropriate, right?
The latter would be appropriate. But in this case, it's clearly gap filling, because if you look at your cases, Chudik and Nidek, which are both cited, here's a good example. In Chudik, you're very clear to say you look at the reference, but if you modify the reference, that's out of bounds for anticipation, which is all we're talking about here. And here, if you look at toner, the reason Dr. Crespi says one would recognize, or sometimes he says toner contemplates, the reason is toner doesn't actually disclose such an embodiment. In the narrowest sense, toner never discloses culturing cells where the source of the gas is the ambient gas around the device. It's always with connection to a gas tank.
Yeah, but sometimes if we were dealing with going back to claim construction of toner with the reference in front of us, we would rely on the claim language. It doesn't necessarily have to be a specific embodiment that embraces this option. The claim language can still be broader than any of the specific embodiments, right?
Yes, but that...
Is it fair for the board here to rely on an expert, one skilled in the art, to say one would have been able to retoner in a broader fashion to include this alternative?
Because the alternative has to be, this is anticipation, and it's got to have the disclosure as it's arranged in the claims. That's what Chudik says. In fact, in Nidek, they tried to make that same kind of argument where they say somebody could kind of envision it based on this reference. And in Nidek, there was a specific type of signal that wasn't disclosed. And what this court came down and said is, exactly, you can't just for anticipation, it's got to be disclosed. And here, it's completely absent.
You've got a definition of ambient gas where you say it can't be pumped in. And as I understand it, the board found that there were two different ways in which toner disclosed ambient gas. One was through ports and relying on the expert's testimony and static flow embodiment. And the other one is that there could be ambient gas in a gas canister and pumped into the device. Am I misunderstanding that second reasoning that was provided by the board?
Yep. And so when they say ambient gas there, I think they're saying composition. And so when we say ambient gas, whether it's pumped in from the incubator or not, it's whatever is surrounding that device is what's being used to culture the cells. In toner, that never happens.
So you're saying ambient air could be pumped in, hypothetically. That's something that could be pumped in.
By having the same composition, it could have the same composition as what's outside. It could be pumped in, but that's in the context of when you look at the claim, it's a method for culturing cells, it's being incubated, and it's that gas that's then that's being used to culture the cells.
Not just any air, but the air that's exactly right outside.
Right outside. It's a passive way of doing it. In Toner, you never have a embodiment. In fact, it's basically taught away. Corning even argued that when it was trying to get its patent over Toner, but it never discloses a toner device. Even when it's put in an incubator, it's not using the air in the incubator that surrounds that device.
What do you think the reference is to air in column 8, line 5?
Yep, so the reference to air there is, if you read the sentence, it's a list of oxygenated fluids that may be used in Toner. So the oxygenated fluids would be the different substances you could have in that tank to be able to pump into Toner. You know, in that incubator example, you'd have the incubator, whatever substance you wanted in that list, you could have in the tank. And so again, the difference is, and it's very narrow because it's anticipation, is the difference here is Toner never discloses. There is not a sentence in Toner, and I can talk about the static flow sentence in 1 second, but there's never a sentence in Toner that ever discloses taking the air that's surrounding that device and using that as what's going to be culturing the cells. It's always a separate tank. Now, when you look at the static flow sentence, and we cite further down in that column, but when you look at the static flow embodiment, what that is they've now pumped in air and they close all of the ports. And that's important because if you close all of the ports, then by definition, the air that's surrounding the device is not going to go in. And so that is not the embodiment by which you can get the air that's surrounding the device to culture it. And that's exactly what the claims require. That's the arrangement in the claims. And that's never disclosed. The other sentence that you referred to, the other ports that the board relies heavily on, doesn't provide for substantial evidence because the board's theory when they put that together was to say, here's the device, look at figure 8, it's got all these ports, it surely must let some of the environmental air in, and that's what's helping to culture cells. Corning doesn't defend it in its response papers because the only disclosure in Toner is all those ports are for exiting air. Nothing brings the air in. Because Toner is a closed oxygen chamber, the only thing it does is it allows for air to come in that's in that tank that they can control. The air that surrounds the device, the ambient gas, the source, that air is never goes into the device in Toner to culture cells. And that's exactly the method that's in the claims.
All right. We're into your rebuttal. So why don't we hear from the other side and we'll reserve the remainder of your rebuttal time. Good morning.
Good morning. May it please the court. The standard of review here is substantial evidence, and that's dispositive because the evidence supporting the judgment here is more than substantial. And I'll start with Toner itself, if I may. Toner discloses that the gas in the device can be air. Toner discloses that the gas in the device can be static. That's in column 17. Toner says that its device has defined openings or ports that, quote, communicate between the interior and the exterior. That's column 8. And figure A shows ports that are open and not physically connected to anything. And the description of figure 8A does not refer to a physically connected gas source. The reply brief suggests that it does. That's just not correct. The description of figure 8A does not refer to a physically connected gas source or tank. And Dr. Crespi testified that that's exactly how a person of ordinary skill in the art would understand figure 8A. They would understand that it can be used as a freestanding device or in an incubator, perhaps with fans or things moving the ambient gas in the incubator around.
What's the best site for Toner? Isn't it what it is in paragraph 47? Is that the key expert testimony?
Yes, and also 89 and 90 as well of Crespi. That's on appendix 1385. And that's where we know from his testimony that a person with ordinary skill in the art would look at figure 8A and know that it can be used on a freestanding basis.
So help me understand something that's, I guess I'm still... somewhat confused about. Look at figure 8A. And when we're talking about the gas that cultures the cells, we're talking about gas inside of, I guess what's identified as 10 or 11, the cylinders.
No, Your Honor.
It seems to me your argument is that it's within the chamber itself and not necessarily within those cylinders.
Those cylinders are actually filled with something else. They're filled with fluid, with a nutrient liquid. I shouldn't say fluid because that's ambiguous. A nutrient liquid that actually, because you couldn't just have cells in air. You need cells in liquid.
We're all on the same page that we're talking about that gray shadow area in figure 8A.
Correct.
Okay.
And the little inlet, if you can see on the left, inlet 3 communicates with the exterior of the device, and whatever's outside flows in. Now, that could be connected to a tube or an external gas source, but it doesn't have to be. There's nothing in...
This may be kind of... Why is it, for example, look at 5. You have 5, which is an inlet, right? And then you have 5 dash or apostrophe. That's the outlet. And then when you look at 3, it doesn't seem that 3 is open.
So it is.
It's not like 5. 5, there's no line that shows 5 being closed in any way.
So 5 looks different because those are manifolded together. So what happens with the 5 and 5 prime is that a liquid, a nutrition-enriched liquid, flows into the manifolded scheme. And if you can see, you see that even on the top and bottom of 5, there's a solid line, but still the material is flowing. So the fact that that's a solid line doesn't indicate that it's closed. The reason it looks different is because 5 is connected with those pipes, those manifolds around. We all agree, and Toner clearly discloses that 3 and 3 prime and 5 and 5 prime are all things that do communicate with the outside. Now, where we disagree is whether 3 and 3 prime have to be connected to tubing and an outside tank. And we say they don't, and nothing in Toner says they have to be connected to external gas source.
This is part of their judicial estoppel argument, right? Their judicial estoppel argument is that you are stopped from arguing that anything other than a canister or tubing could be connected to 3.
Correct. And the board rejected the judicial estoppel argument twice because, first of all, the statements were in the context of a different record and a very different claim. And we never argued that Toner precludes using ambient air. And in this respect, I think it's really important for the court to examine what we actually said in the 859 prosecution because it's not reported accurately in the appellee's briefs. If you look at Appendix 29, 34-60, you'll see we never used the term ambient gas. The term appears in the reply brief in quotation marks, suggesting that we use that term. We didn't use that term. The reply also says we argued that Toner's structure requires a gas-tight seal. What we actually said is Toner can be sealed. It can be airtight, and that's a really important distinction. The issue in the 859 prosecution was structure. Our structure in 859 was an open structure with peripheral supports to make a plurality of gaps. It's a totally open device. Toner describes a closed oxygen chamber with defined entry and exit points. Now, if I could use an analogy, the 859 structure, well, I'll start with Toner. Toner is like a house with windows and an air conditioning system. Okay, so you can either open the windows or you could close the windows and turn on the air conditioning. The 859 device is more like a carport or a pavilion at a park. It's totally open. It cannot be closed. And to illustrate that distinction, we made the argument that Toner's structure allows for, it's capable of being used in an airtight manner to control the flow. So, for example, We said the tone reports are arranged to allow for a controlled flow of oxygenated fluid, which may be pressurized oxygenated fluid. We said that the toner reference discloses that the oxygenated fluid compartments can be sealed, can be airtight. And because the toner device, with its closed oxygen chamber connected via ports to an oxygenated fluid source, can be used to manipulate the type of gas and can be used to manipulate hepatocyte function. So all of those are permissive. Every one of them says that toner is capable of being used, sealed up and used with a tank. None of them say that it has to be. And because of what toner expressly discloses with air, static, embodiment, et cetera, and the fact that, 8A does not show a connection. Some of the figures show a tank. 8A doesn't show a tank. And Crespi said, appropriately, that a person with ordinary skill in the art would understand that 8A can be used in a freestanding manner with the port simply left open to whatever is on the outside. Now, obviously, it's important, the court mentioned earlier, that the construction of ambient gas. The broadest reasonable interpretation of ambient gas is just that it's the kind of gas that surrounds the device. And that's exactly what the board concluded. If you look at the claims themselves, they say the apparatus is incubated in the presence of ambient gas suitable for animal cell culture, and ambient gas resides within each said gas space. So the claim itself uses the term ambient gas to refer to a kind of gas, the gas that's around and suitable for animal cell culture. That's the kind of gas. And it claims a method of using that same kind of gas both around the apparatus and inside the gas spaces. There's no limitation based on pressure, based on flow, based on how the gas got there, based on whether it was passive or active, as I just heard in my friend's argument. Then if you look at the specifications, in column 9, the specifications of the 044 patent say that the gas space need not have forced gas flow or be adapted for forced gas flow in order for the device to function. In its simplest and preferred form, it is just ambient gas in contact with any or all of the gas permeable portions of the device. Well, that's permissive language. It shows that ambient gas in the gas space can have forced gas flow. It's just not preferred that way. And that's, so what Wilson is doing in this appeal is trying to use his own expert declaration to add limitations to his own patent. And that is not a permissible use of an expert declaration in a case like this. It's also important to note the prosecution history of the 044 patent. During the prosecution of the 044 patent, there was a dependent claim that was later canceled that required ambient gas that is not forced to flow into said gas space. And the board concluded, appropriately, that the filing of that claim indicates that ambient gas could either be forced to flow into the gas space or not. So that's a distinction that the board found important and stands as part of the substantial evidence that supports the conclusion that Toner discloses these claims. It is true that there were two claim constructions offered, and that both of those constructions actually referred to the characteristics of the gas. Wilson's construction did not offer a limitation based on pressure or flow or active or passive or anything like that. And what the board concluded was it was enough to say air passing from the exterior of the device into the interior of the device is ambient gas under either one of the proposed constructions. And as the rehearing panel indicated, that was essentially an interpretation of the term ambient gas that encompasses the broadest reasonable interpretation and that that supports the conclusion that Toner discloses all of those limitations. It's a reference to the same kind of gas that surrounds the device. Now, if I could speak for just a second about the idea of ambient gas being put in a tank. Air is air. Air is air, whether it's blowing, if there's a fan, if there's a pump. Air is also air if you put it in a tank. And in the reply brief, Wilson argues that air stops being ambient if you put it in a tank and deliver it with a pump. And that's not how the 044 patent uses the term ambient gas. If a gas stops being ambient when it's put in a tank, then it can't be ambient when it's inside Wilson's device. And yet Wilson's own claim describes the gas that resides within the gas space as ambient gas. So he must be, when he's using the term ambient, referring to the type of gas, the kind of gas, a gas suitable for cell culture that exists outside the device. So all that matters, to go back to my analogy, for Wilson's claim is about what kind of air is in the structure. It's not about how the air got there, whether it was pumped or forced, whether it flowed in a natural and unimpeded and passive way. It's not about that at all. It simply refers to the fact that the gas is in the device and the same gas is on the outside of the device. And that by itself, I think, defeats the argument that Wilson is making on appeal. Unless the court has further questions, we will stand on our argument. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Your Honor, I'm going to make one point using figure 8. So a preliminary point is figure 8, if you look at it, if you look at the whole patent, it's actually just another embodiment of what they show as the device in figure 1, and it's a different embodiments. That's the only reason figure 8 is not hooked up to the full system that's shown in figure 1. And that's
which there's lots of different figure 8s. I'm sorry, just can I'm you sorry, tell me which you're one in, you're pointing out, 8A, 8B,
oh,
C?
I'm sorry, I'm in 8A.
Okay.
And because 8A is what they rely on is the only reason
right.
I'm pointing
right. Because 8 does show the gas tank.
I'm sorry?
Because 8 shows something else, right?
Eight just shows the bioreactor. It just shows
figure 1 has the gas tank.
Gas tank, right. Yeah. Okay. So, and it's connected, so it's just an embodiment. But here's, so that ambient gas that the claim is referring to is the gas that surrounds the device. And that's the air that has to be in here. All Toner discloses is getting gas in here from the tank, never from what's surrounding it. Now, when she's talking about forced gas or anything else, it's the same principle that I just said applies. If you put the device in an incubator, which is what the claim is talking about, the gas that's surrounding it might have been forced into the incubator, but then it's that gas that's then used to culture the cells. Here, when they put this device into the incubator, it's not the gas that's in the incubator that was in the examples that are being used to culture these cells. Here, even though this entire bioreactor, in example one, is in the incubator, they still, to inlet 3, connect a gas tank. And that is the only disclosure. And the reason I keep bringing that up is this is really just a 102. They have, and what they did with Crespi, the reason it's different from what they did when they were in the patent office to get their own patent is they used Crespi to modify that. So they're using words to change that disclosure to say, now someone can recognize, someone can contemplate, you can put a fan there. None of that is disclosed. In fact, it cuts against everything Toner says, and the best example of that is Corning's own statements about Toner when they wanted to get their patent on the exact same type of device.
Can I ask you, I mean, you agree that that experts can interpret specifications and what they teach one of ordinary skill in the art. So if it's viewed from the perspective of one of ordinary skill in the art would understand this patent Toner to teach a certain thing, that's legally okay. On the other hand, I think what you're saying is that there is no support for the expert saying that one of ordinary skill in the art would understand the reference to work in a particular way. And that's why it's not an anticipatory reference, because for anticipation, it has to teach every element of the claim.
As arranged, exactly. And so when they're making the interpretation, if you look at your case law, and that's the reason I went to Chudik and Nidek in particular, is if you're modifying it, so when the expert says, I would understand something, there's an example that we put in one of the cases where the product is already there, and the expert looks at the product and says, that's made of X material. That's part of it, and the expert's explaining that it's made of whatever material that's there for that product. Here, what the expert is doing is literally taking an embodiment where it's all connected and saying, I'm going to change it. I'm literally taking the tubes off. I'm going to now put it in the incubator, which is the opposite of what it taught me, and take everything off and see if it'll incubate, see if it'll culture cells. That's a hypothetical. That is one that's not disclosed. That's what your case law says, as in Chudik, or where it's a modification. That's a clear, bright line where, for anticipation, the expert is now modifying the disclosure. There is no disclosure in here that will teach you to culture cells using the gas that's surrounding the device.
We have your argument. Thank you. We thank both sides. The case is submitted. That concludes our proceedings for this morning.